Well, amen. Thank you, worship team. And once again, good morning, everyone. Well, today is special for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons I'm excited about today. The first one is that we've been in our Super Godman series for a long time now, and today we're going to bring it to a close. But there's a much greater reason why we celebrate today, and that is the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. And we're going to celebrate that. It's exciting. And so we figured we're going to have such a fun time today that the kids were going to miss out if they had gone to children's church. So that's why the kids are with us in the service. They're going to party with us throughout the service. Now, hopefully, as you walked in, you would have received a white towel. And if the ushers could walk through the aisleways with the remaining towels we have left, and if you could raise your hand and let the ushers know that you don't have a white towel, we're going to celebrate with this towel in a second. Yeah, so please raise your hand if you don't have a towel, and we'll get one for you. Hopefully there's enough. And let me explain what we're doing here. So let me explain what we're doing here. We're not going to do this right now, but at a certain point in the service, well, let me back it up for a second. Has anyone here ever gone to a hockey game or watched a hockey game, and the home team scores a goal, and you start waving your towel over your head? Yeah. Well, we're going to do that today, okay? We like to cheer for our favorite teams, maybe when they score a goal in hockey, a touchdown in football. I even was watching the Super Bowl this past year when the Broncos were scoring. I was actually getting on my seat and doing a dance, you know. There's nothing wrong with celebrating over those things, but listen, those things really have no eternal value or significance, the home team scoring a goal. But when we talk about Jesus rising from the dead, there is huge eternal significance. And especially when we read of Jesus rising again from the dead, it should be cause for great celebration, especially amongst Christians. So, when we get to the point in the passage where we read the words, "He is risen," I'm going to encourage you to stand up and cheer as if the home team has just won the best tournament or game ever in your life. You're going to give your neighbor a high five. You can even maybe a hip check, maybe a chest bump, an appropriate chest bump. If you're married, go ahead and smooch your wife. That's okay. And kids, usually we tell you to stay seated and stay still, but today you can even jump on the pews, okay? You can do that. You can even go into the aisleway and do a little dance, okay? It's celebration day. But before we get to his resurrection, I intentionally sectioned this series in such a way that today we still need to be reminded of his death and his crucifixion, and I'll explain why in a bit. But we're going to pick off where we left off in this series. That's Mark chapter 15, verse 27. Mark 15, verse 27. But before we start reading, I'm just going to say a word of prayer. God, for so many reasons, Easter is an exciting time. Thank you that we have cause for celebration today. Thank you that you conquered sin and death. We pray that you would open our hearts to what you want to teach us today. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand as a symbol of our appreciation, love, and respect for God's word as you read a portion of the passage today. Like I said, I'm going to start where Jesus was crucified. And it's important we reminded that Jesus died. He literally died, because if he didn't die, then it's hard to talk about his resurrection. Okay, so let's start off in Mark chapter 15, verse 27. They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. By the way, when a king sat on his throne, he might have some high-ranking officials sitting at his right and his left, and so to have two criminals beside Jesus at his crucifixion was probably just another form of mockery. Verse 29, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And you should know that the Romans tried to make crucifixion as humiliating as possible in order to warn people not to rebel against Rome. And so Jesus was obviously, with talking with where we were on Good Friday, we know that this experience would have been shameful and humiliating for Jesus. Let's carry on in verse 33. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Some ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. There's more that we're going to read later, but I'm going to sit down for now. So before we get on to the next passage where we talk about his resurrection, there's a few points that I want to glean from the passage that we just read. And again, there might be a little bit of overlap because of what we talked about on Friday, but that's okay. There's some important points to make here. And there's five really brief points that I want to make. And the first is this, is that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus felt forsaken by God. At one point in this passage, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, Jesus became sin for us and he experienced God's cup of judgment. Now, to illustrate this concept, and because we have the children with us, I'm going to ask Sherry to bring some of her team up here and do a little skit for us. Good job, guys. My apologies if you didn't hear that. Maybe I should have gave him a mic, but great, great skit. Thank you so much. Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for us. That's important for us to recognize that. The second point that I want to share with you might seem extremely obvious, but it needs to be said. Jesus, number two, was dead. Jesus was dead. He died. Because some people question Jesus' death. And if you question Jesus' death, then you will then naturally question his resurrection. There's lots of evidence in Scripture and the Gospels that we could point to that affirm or confirm that he was dead. And there's two points that I want to make from this passage that confirm that Jesus was, in fact, dead. First, Pilate confirmed with the centurion that Jesus was dead. Now, the centurion, he was a professional, and he likely would have crucified many, many people, and he would have known if the person he crucified was dead yet or not. And he confirmed with Pilate that he was, in fact, dead. Second, we know that Jesus' body was wrapped in linen and placed in a tomb. People would not wrap Jesus' body and place him in a tomb if they had not also confirmed that he was dead. Obvious point, but it needs to be said. And number three, the third point I want to make here is that the curtain was torn. We talked about this on Friday, but just in case you weren't here, in that time, the Jewish people had a temple. And in the temple, there was a curtain. And Bella, do you want to come on the stage with me? No? Sierra, do you want to come on the stage with me for a sec? Yeah? Great. Give Sierra a hand. You can just stand right there. You don't have to hold it. Yeah, I stand right here. In the temple was a curtain. And this represented the fact that the presence of God was separate from the people, the Jewish people. And in fact, once a year, and only once a year, the high priest, and only the high priest, would go behind this curtain and talk to God on behalf of the people. But at the moment of Jesus' crucifixion, and the moment when he died, the scripture says the curtain was torn in two. He was gone. And this was symbolic of this idea that now God and people could now be in fellowship with each other, and they didn't have to go through another person or a priest, and they can give each other a hug. Can you give me a hug, Sierra? Thank you. Yeah. Give Sierra a hand. This was symbolic of the fact that we have, because of Jesus' death on the cross, we now have full access to God's presence. We don't have to go through anyone or whatever. It's an incredible truth, very subtle in this passage, but really important. The fourth point is that I want to share or highlight is the fact that this soldier, a Gentile, he declares Jesus to be the Son of God. The identity of Jesus is incredibly important in Mark's gospel. He's constantly revealing or showing how different people are coming to this realization of who Jesus is. And now that we're at the end of Mark, Mark is highlighting again that now the Gentiles are coming to faith in Jesus and they're recognizing who Jesus truly is. Do you recognize who Jesus is? Do you consider Jesus to be just another ordinary guy, or have you recognized Jesus to be the one and only Son of God, the only one worthy of worship? Well, this Gentile centurion surely came to that conclusion. Fifth, this is a very interesting point. Joseph risked his life and his reputation for Jesus. Now, typically, it would have been the family or friends who would have taken the body and buried the body, but they were either too distraught or they had deserted Jesus. They had fled. But Joseph, he was part of the Jewish religious leadership, and to offer to bury Jesus' body could have really hurt his reputation, or even worse, it could have got him killed. They could have said, hey, you're associated with Jesus. Why don't we crucify you too? Why don't we persecute you in some way? But either way, he went ahead and he went boldly and asked for the body, and he cared for Jesus' body and he buried him. I find that kind of behavior amazing. It's courageous. Do you and I have the same kind of courage that Joseph had? He was willing to risk his reputation and his life by being associated with Jesus. Are you embarrassed with your association with Jesus? Are you proud of it? And are you courageous in different circumstances? Okay, now let's get to the next passage, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 1. I'm just going to read the first few verses. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Okay, before we get to the next and final passage, I need to remind you where we are in our series. We've been in this series for a long time, the Super God-Man. We've learned a lot of things about Jesus, the Super God-Man. I want to summarize what we learned about him so far. First of all, Jesus, the Super God-Man, he's the Son of God. He claimed to forgive sin, which is something that only God can do. He exercised control over the forces of nature. He even walked on water. Can you believe that? He exercised control over the spirit world by casting out thousands of demons. We can have confidence that there's nothing in this world that is stronger or greater than Jesus. He fed thousands with just a few loaves of bread and fish. He cured lepers. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the paralyzed. He healed all sorts of people of sickness and disease and ailments. In fact, he even rose people from the dead. Can I get an amen? Nothing was too difficult for the Super God-Man. He spoke and he taught with authority. He knew the motives of people's hearts. He knew the thoughts of people's minds, and what he predicted became true. He claimed to be the King of the King of the Jews, the Son of God, and the Messiah. The Super God-Man is like no other person that ever walked the planet. There's no one like him. However, up until this point of the story now, we see that the Super God-Man, he's been beat up. He's been mocked. He's been crucified. And at this point in the story, he's dead and he is buried. And at this point in the story, it sounds like the enemy has won. It sounds like the Super God-Man has lost and that he wasn't much of a hero anymore. And so you can understand why his disciples would have deserted him and would have felt depressed and went into hiding, because their hero was dead and from their perspective was defeated. But that's not where the story ended, praise God, because that would be quite depressing. But what happens next? Let's carry on in verse 4. Does everyone have their towels ready? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. By the way, this man was an angel. He said, "Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified." All right, church, are you ready to party? Yeah. Now, this is much more significant than your favorite team scoring the winning goal in a Stanley Cup game. Okay, this is what the angel said. "And you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen!" Woo! We're gonna do this one more time, but I need someone up here who is gifted at doing the moonwalk. And any takers? Anybody? Let's get Spider-Man up here. Okay, Spider-Man's gonna do the moonwalk. Anyone else? I'm gonna voluntold Gary. Can you come up here? I'm gonna pick on Gary. Come on up, Gary. All right, we're gonna do this once again, party, and you're welcome to jump on the aisle and do a little dance, do a little shake. And these guys are going to lead the way by doing a moonwalk or a shake or something here, okay? Are you ready? Ready, church? He has risen! Good job. You're good. Thanks, guys. Now we'll come back and do that one more time at the end, just for the sake of having fun. But let's continue on with the passage, and let's continue reading what happens next. I lost my place. Where am I? There he is. He is risen. All right, he is risen. Okay, perfect. Okay. Okay, here's what the angel said. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, we're going to end there. You will see in your Bibles that there are more verses after that. But most scholars agree that verses 9 to 20 weren't written by Mark. And so most scholars would say that they weren't part of the original manuscript. It was probably a well-intended author who had inserted those verses afterwards because the last page of that book was missing. So we're going to stop right there, although we know from the other Gospels the rest of the story. That being said, let's talk about the importance of Jesus' resurrection. There's a few points that I want to make here about the resurrection. Well, first off, number one of three, that what Jesus predicted came true. We've talked about this before, but Jesus predicted and on many occasions that he would die and he would rise again, and it actually happened. And this, first of all, proves that Jesus can be trusted. He can be trusted because he knows the future, he predicts the future, and it came true. We've talked about this before. The second point I want to make is that his resurrection confirms that Jesus is everything he claimed to be. This book tells us that he claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah, and the King of Kings, and he is all of those things and much more because he rose from the dead. And lastly, the third point I want to make is that Jesus, because of the resurrection, he defeated sin, death, and hell. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that he has the power to take away sin. And when we confess our sin, we can have the confidence in knowing that Jesus will take it away. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that we will rise from the dead too. We don't have to be afraid of death because Jesus defeated death. In fact, for the Christian, they can get quite excited about death. They can almost, the Salvation Army jokes about that when someone passes away, they say they've been promoted. They've been promoted to glory, and I really like that. We can be excited about death. I love 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 and 57. There have been songs written on these verses. I love it. Let me read it to you. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And then the Bible passage almost mocks death. It says this: "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I love it. Now, because Jesus rose from the dead, He provided a way of escape for us from hell and an opportunity for us to enter eternity in heaven with Him. And all we need to do to receive these benefits, to receive these gifts that God has given us, is to simply put our faith in Jesus. To believe that He died on the cross for our sins, that He rose again from the grave, and commit our lives to following Him and His power and His strength. Lastly, the resurrection confirms that Jesus is indeed the super God-man. There is no other in all of history who compares to Him. He's the only one worthy of our praise and worship. Can I get an amen? And now, as we close, let's take a look at what would have been going through the disciples' mind when they first heard the news about the empty tomb. I'll just direct your attention to the screen behind me.
Peter, stop!
We'll get the guys to help with the search, and then we'll divide up, all right? We'll have Andrew take the north, Bartholomew will take the bottom.
Peter, stop! Look, I'm just as confused about this as you are.
Someone stole them. That's the only logical explanation, John.
Wait, okay? Look, what we witnessed today.
The guards, they took him. We have to move swiftly. We have to rebury the body properly.
Look, Peter, stop! Okay, we need to go tell the others.
Tell them what?
What we saw.
We saw nothing.
Exactly.
John, do you not understand that they are trying to stop us? That's why Jesus kept waking us up to pray. That's why they got to Judas. That's why they arrested Jesus. Just the other day, I was looking at him. I was looking him in the eye, and I told him that I loved him and that I would follow him to the ends of the earth. He was supposed to be our king.
He is the king. When we were in the tomb, I remember something Jesus said.
The linens were just lying there. They were just lying there.
No. Think bigger. Look, all of this, all of it, was supposed to be preparing us for this moment, for that empty tomb. We just couldn't see it.
Couldn't see what?
Okay. When Mary came back and said that the tomb was empty and that the angel of the Lord was there, that's when it started to come back.
John, enough. We can reminisce about this later. Jesus is missing. We have to go find him.
He's not missing. That's the point. Look, he was trying to tell us about this. Jesus was preparing us for this. He's risen. Peter, he's a different kind of king, and he always was. Peter, do you remember that night Jesus asked us who we thought he was?
When he called me Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I called him...
Lord of all, Peter. We just didn't understand.
But he's gone.
No, he's risen.
He did it.
Peter, he's risen.
He's risen. He's risen. He's risen. He did it.
Church, well. last time. He is risen! You know, this is a great cause of celebration for us, but not everyone here is able to necessarily celebrate us, because potentially not everyone here is a child of God. And so if you want to be able to celebrate with the sons and daughters of Christ, you need to simply put your faith in Jesus. And what I want to do today before we leave, I recognize that not everybody has done this or potentially has done this in their life. So what I want you to do is if you're sitting here, maybe you don't know why you've come, but there's something that was said or sung or done in this service that made you recognize that, you know, maybe it's time that I need to put my faith in Jesus. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to have everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. And I'm going to say a prayer. And I'm going to invite you to say this prayer with me. And this is a prayer where you can dedicate your life to the Lord and make that decision once and for all to put your faith in Jesus. And so I would just encourage you today to pray this prayer with me. If you want to make your decision today to put your faith finally in Jesus, the super God man, the one who's above all others, the only one worthy of worship. If you want to make this decision today, repeat after me. In the quietness of your heart. Dear Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord, for how I failed you. I recognize my need for you. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. It was my sin that put you there, Lord, and I'm sorry. Lord, I believe that you rose again from the grave to conquer sin and death. And I praise you for that, Lord. Lord, I haven't always lived my life in a way that's pleasing to you, and I'm sorry, Lord, and I want to live for you. Lord, I commit my whole life to you, 100% of it, from start to finish. And I pray that your Spirit would help me live for you, because I don't know how to do it on my own. I need your help. So, Lord, I commit my life to you. Lord, from this day on, I commit to living my entire life for you. I'm wholly yours, Lord. Amen.